But to go through a little bit of the Malbum. The Malbum. He breaks up the Mizmor into, I think, into seven parts. He breaks up the description of this person, the good person, the Ashrei Ish.
Rabbi, you muted.
I'm sorry.
Muted.
Okay, I'm sorry. You hear me now?
Yes.
Sprint. Right, you hear me now? You dropped the pin? Okay. Mm. Okay. So we are learning. We're gonna spend one more day on this on Mizmor Aleph. I want to go through the Rashi Perakim of the Malbum and a few of the Mamore Chazal, and maybe if we have time, a few other ideas. From tomorrow, we're gonna go into Mizmor Beis. So let's just I'll read the Mizmor very quickly again. The Mizmor begins Ashrei Ish. Praiseworthy, the praises of the man. Asher leholach v'atzas rish, and the nakon way of the wicked of derechatam leomod. The praise of man can be summarized in this, that, or can be seen from this, that a person did not follow in the way of the wicked, atzas rishoim. He did not travel according to their advice in Eitzah. Ubederech ha'toim loy omod. He did not stand in the road of the wicked. Uvemoshav leitzim lo yoshav. He did not sit in the moshav of the leitzim. Okay, for some time there are three different expressions. Very fascinating. There are three different expressions. There is traveling, there is standing, and there is sitting. Three different things. When a person travels, he has a mission. When he stands, what does it mean to stand? You know what it means to stand? You prevent other people from moving. Lately, they've been having protests all over the world. Truck drivers. What do? They just park their truck in the middle of the road. They park their truck in the middle of the road and no one can move. When you stand somewhere, there are different ideas in standing means this is what I'm part of. A person is a wicked person. He wants to participate in wickedness. So he stands with them. That's one shot. But when you take the word omad and you look at it in contrast to the word holach and the word yoshav really means to sit and be a participant, be a member of a group. Halach means to travel with other people. Halach means you want to go in an evil way. In this context, when we look at the word omod that is centered, it is surrounded by halach and yoshav, what it really means is you prevent other people from doing good. And that is an entirely different dimension, in wickedness. There's one thing, a person, he wants to be a wicked person.
This is yours.
Thank you.
I'm just simmering on here. Wonderful. Until you put your...
Mr. Cohen, what did I do to deserve you? Thank you so much. Okay, so again, we have here three... We're discussing some ideas today on Mizmor Aleph. We have the first Mizmor, we have here the three different madrigals. We have a person that did not travel in the counsel of the wicked. He did not stand on the derech of the chato'im. And he did not sit in the moshav leitzim. Trying to bring out an idea, what does it mean exactly? He did not stand on the derech of the chato'im. What does that mean exactly? I'm trying to suggest that it does not mean simply that a person, was not a member, a card-carrying member of the wicked. Because that's really what it means with Moshav Leitzim Lo Yoshav. The Moshav Leitzim Lo Yoshav, he did not sit with the Leitzim. That really means he's a card-carrying member of the wicked. So what then does it mean that Uvedere Chad Rishoyim Lo Yomot? What that really means is that he prevented people from doing good. When a Rasha stands in one location, what he's doing, there are people out there either who want to escape, there are people who are part of the clan and realize this is not where they want to be and they want to escape, or there are good people, there are good people who are trying to achieve good. And these wicked people, they get in their way. They stand there and prevent the tzaddikim from achieving good, or they prevent wicked people from escaping the clutch, the power of the wicked. People want to get out. They want to get out of this wicked institution. And the doors are locked. That is an entirely different dimension of wickedness. There's people who do evil. There are people who are just participants in evil. And there are people that...
Enablers?
What?
Enablers?
The Moshe of Leitzim. Which one is the enabler? Which one do you want to say the enablers? The Moshe of Leitzim. The Moshe of Leitzim. So the Moshe of Leitzim, you say Lo Yoshev, they sat together with them, which means they're actually part of the institution of wickedness. And Asher Holach means the people, they're trying to get a degree. They're trying to gain membership, gain entry into it. Didn't you want to remember you said the book of Incredible? Remember that book Incredible you gave me? Mm-hmm. So there he talks about that he was young, he was the mafia, came to, what was the name of the person? The name of the person who the book is all about. I forgot his name already. Everything you forget, 1, 2, 3. That he was, when he was a child, he was approached by the mafia, this fellow, to gain entrance, to the, trying to recruit him into the mafia. And they told him different crimes he has to commit in order to gain entrance. And like one crime was, he had to go take off the tires of a car. All four tires had to be removed. 1, 2, 3, in the middle of the night or a certain crime. Then he had to do another crime. And then the breaking point was they told him he has to basically hurt another human being. And when the mafia told him, in order for you to get to the next level in the institution is by actually causing physical harm to another human being, already this person had enough. He realizes not for him. So there are people that are trying, the holach, they're trying to gain entry into a clan of wicked people. That basically, you're already part of the institution. You're part of the institution and you are an enabler. This other middle step is very different. You're an impediment. Amad doesn't hear again in this context, it cannot just mean that you're a partner in the crime. Because that's going to be the same thing as being Moshe of Leitzim Lo Yoshev.
Wallace.
Once you have Moshe of Leitzim Lo Yoshev, what more is there by telling you, they're the same thing. If you only have one of these two expressions, fine. It means you're part of the group of evil people. But we have two of these expressions, which are seemingly the same exact thing, what then is the difference? The answer I'm trying to suggest is Uvederecha to'im loy amad means you did not get in the way. There are people who want to do good. And then there are people that don't fargin. So what do? They stand on the road and they prevent you from getting where you want to go. I want to go give tzedakah. Sorry. The bank is closed. You can't make a deposit. Sorry. Person who, let's say, is a part of a, or the other way around, you're part of an evil organization, and there are people who want to get out. Sorry, you can't leave. You're locked here. You have to remain part of the evil. That's the Amad. You are an impediment. Okay, let's go further.
Then so Amad is an impediment.
I'm sorry.
No, but the implication here, you know, im holach, then lo Amad means.
Okay, that's right. I know. I'm saying Jewish.
So Amad is a negative thing.
Okay, that's Parshim Shavar. I'm just trying to show you Jewish. This is something which all the Mepharshim talk about. Talk about what is the why are there three different states?
Yeah. Anyway, I just want, if I may, you know, when we just started Hagdama, I mentioned to my son who's at Nihil of a seminary in Lakewood. I told him we just started Tehillim. He says, "Im holach l'omad, d'omad go Yoshev." So he says he explains it like this. He says that. Let's say a group is saying, you know, hey, we're going to the movies. I'll add, well, let's say that we're going to Las Vegas. So, in lo holach, lo amad. Amad means, he says, I'm not, fine. I'll go along for the trip, but lo amad, I'm not going to stand. What does lo amad mean, I'm not going to stand? Lo amad, Means he won't get to that position. So Oman is, he says, okay, well, once I'm here already, I'm not going to go into the movie house. I'll stand at the entrance, or I won't go into the show. But once once he's there, you know, Yashav, he eventually goes into the
slippery slope syndrome.
he slips, you know, three motions.
Once you start, it just pulls you in. So that's what you just said is in essence what Rashi says. Rashi says that these three things are connected. Once a person starts with one, it's inevitable he's going to be pulled into the next level. Once a person travels, the end's going to be he's going to be present. Once he's present, he's going to participate. It's inevitable. Absolutely. That's what Rashi does. The Ikar Rashi is always the Ikar Shebekam. I remember hearing once of Rabbi Fishel Schachter. Official Shachter, he gave many years ago many, many dasim for Eli Teitelbaum, Dial of Das. And it's still very popular in the Shigur. They still listen to it all over the world. And I remember him speaking that he came, you know, he used to spend so many hours preparing and then actually reciting, actually saying the Shir into the tape recorder. And, you know, in those days, it wasn't as easy as it is today. He had a regular cassette, and he had to rewind. He said that it used to take him an average of 6 hours just to say on the tape a shear that's 1 hour. A 1 hour shear,
right.
He would say, he would realize, no, say better, so he would rewind, find the right place, say it again. Again, in order to put on the tape a shear for 1 hour, it would take him 6 hours until he refined it and got it down perfect. And that was without all the technology we have today. Today, it's a little bit easier. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't know exactly. But this is so fine. But that's in addition to all the preparation. All the preparation. And he would say every so often, he would come, he would prepare a Gemara, a daf, and he would learn the Rashi and the Tosfos. And Tosfos' mahalach in the Gemara is simple. It's glatt. It just...
It's very good.
It easily fits into the words of the Gemara. There's no issues whatsoever. Rashi's pshat is much more convoluted. It's much more difficult. So he felt that maybe in those instances, since the shir has been listened by the masses, and the goal is just to have a clear understanding of the Gemara in the simplest way possible, he should focus on Tosfos to explain the mahalich of the Gemara lefi Tosfos. And Rashi, maybe at the end, will say very quickly what Rashi says. So he says he went to Rav Palm, and he asked Rav Palm about this idea, and Rav Palm said, no, under no condition. The Ikur is Rashi, no matter what. No matter how complicated and convoluted it seems, Rashi knew everything Tosfos knew. He knew the whole Mahalach of Tosfos, and yet Rashi chose to explain the Gemara Leibasi El Lefarish according to his understanding, according to what he felt to be the most simple understanding. And we not realize it, maybe Rashi is coming to foreshadow something that's necessary for the future in the next daf Gemara or 10 daf away, but the Iker is Rashi. So Rabbi Mintz, absolutely. Rashi is the Rabban. It's not a coincidence that the letters of Rashi, Resh, Shin, Yud, besides Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, also is Rosh Tevois, the Rabbon Shel Yisrael. And of course, Rashi is always the Ikar, not just the Ikar Shebei Karm, but look at this page, look at this whole sefer over here. There are a lot of commentators, some Rishonim, some Achronim, that take a poetic license to expound and provide some other flavors of interpretation on these psukim. Okay, so that was an idea, an independent idea. So we read the psukim very quickly. Pasuk Gimel, v'hoya ke'ishasul, this person who does not go in the Pasuk Beis, Kim Teres from Chesson, the person who we are coming to praise. He is the person whose only desire is in Hashem's Torah. Uvisarasa yega yamam v'loyla, and he toils in Torah. It becomes his Torah. He meditates day and night. The Hoyah to Eitz Shasul, he will be like a tree that is replanted. We spend some time on this. Al Pal Gemayim, on the various streams of water. Asher, period, Yitayim's fruit blossoms in the right time. Violeh lo yibo, the leaves do not wither. The Cholash Yasem, everything that he does, Yatzliach, he will be successful. Loi Chayli Yosef was called an Ish Matzliach. An Ish, a person that is there. Just there are people out there, they have, it's like a mazel, it's a mazel, it's a siyat, a shmaya. An Ish Matzliach. I know a person who went to Chaim Kanievsky, I know a family actually, I know this firsthand. Family went to, this many, many years ago, I know them now, they're much older of course, they went to the stipler. The stipler, Zechet Tzak Mavrocha, they went many, many years ago, the person's father was one of Aaron Carlin's first Talmidim in Lakewood, and when he had a family, he took all of his children to Eretz Yisrael, and they went to the stipler, and the stipler gave a bracha to each one of the children. And then it came to one particular son, and he didn't give the bracha. And the father was very, very disturbed. Why are you not giving the bracha? And like he kept on pressuring him. And he said, he doesn't need a bracha. He's an Ish Matzliach. That's what he said about him. And Kacha, today, he's a multi billionaire. And like, he was the kid there. He was just a little kid. How did the stipler, Ruach HaKadosh, know he doesn't need a bracha? He's an Ish Matzliach. Unbelievable. Okay, over here, regarding this person, it says he will be b'chol asher yaseh yatzeh, he will be successful. Pasuk dal lechein or shom b'rusham nakum. You like this, Kim Kamoitz?
He attributed money, not to Torah.
So you're saying very good. Right, Mintz is saying he's giving me the ultimate musr, and I love what he's saying. Just because he's rich, that's called Hatzlacha. It's a joke. You could have all the money in the world, you could be the biggest lowlife, the most wicked person. Look at some of these people out there in the world today, in the world out there, who have an infinite amount of money, and they're just causing so many people pain, so many people tsar in promoting their agenda. And who says their agenda is correct? So you're absolutely correct. So I have to refine what I said. I have to say, the reason why we have to say the Ishma Sikh is because there's no question about it. This person has given tzedakah that's beyond belief, publicly. And if you can imagine what he's done publicly, the rumors are what he's given secretly that we don't know about is also beyond belief. So there's no question that even in this neighborhood, this community itself, he has given to this community to under wraps. To keep this community, to promote Yiddishkeit in this community. Everyone needs chizuk. So I'm assuming you are absolutely correct. When to be an Ish Matzliach, there's no question he has enabled so many people to come closer to Hashem in many, many ways. But you're right, money is not anything. It's the only thing. Okay? Biyoda, right, exactly. Everything that he does, whatever he does, right. It's a simon. So Rav Kalman is saying that if you see a person is successful with money, that's a simon that he's successful with other things as well. Look, you're reminding Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Mechabed Ashir. Why was, it's a very big question, why was Rabbeinu HaKadosh mechabed wealthy people?
Because his father was very well.
So it's a very tough question. There are answers to you, but the question is why? Why talk of mechabed Hashem? Well, what is money? Money is not a virtue in and of itself according to the Torah. So there are answers. And one of the answers given is that the person who has an enormous amount of wealth, it's assumed that he uses that money in ways to enable other people to serve Hashem that the average person is unable to do. There's something there. Or Kalman is saying that a person is successful in one area, we assume that he's successful in Yirah Shemayim, in other things as well. Okay, but the question is a good question, tough question. Let's go further. Pasuk Dal.
Rebbe and Antoninus. Rebbe reached his climax with Antoninus, who provided the money and the power.
They worked together. That's the Rashi. Rashi, in the beginning, Parsha told us. Loichein or Hashem Ruach not so. Kim Kamoitz like Kamoitz like chaff. Asher Titfen or Ruach, which the wind blows away. Al Kein Leikum or Hashem Bamishpat. The wicked are not going to be discussed in detail. Loikum or Hashem Bamishpat. We had two perushim. What this means? Either the wicked are not going to even merit judgment. they will be no different than animals. We never heard an animal standing in a trial and lawyers coming to defend the animal. They don't merit this. This is just instant judgment. They're not going to stand in front of a judge. Or it means they will stand in front of a judge, but they will not survive. They will be declared, they will lose their case, they will be condemned. V'chata'im ba'adas sadikim. This is to be repeated. Lo yukumu, v'chata'im, the sinners, the sins. Right? The question was, why does the word chata'im not choytim? Ba'adas, in the assembly of the righteous. Ki yodeh Hashem derech tzadikim, v'derech resho'im toiveid. So we discussed this. Either word ki yodeh is going back on al kei lo yokumu rishon ba mishpat. Why will the wicked not merit? It's because ki. So we Rashi explained this. I'm forgetting already. Rashi davukul mikoshalachav ki de Hashem lufishu yodeh derech tzadikim lufanav ki itlakiru tamid. So the reason why they're not going to survive the wicked, but the tzaddikim will survive, is because Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he is yodeh, means he pays attention. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is cognizant, and we discussed this, is that the koyach of life in this world is when Hashem just is aware. Hashem needs to continuously pay attention in order to allow the world to continue to exist. Like we discussed, it's not that just Hashem created this world and gave the world an independent power to survive, and Hashem steps away and the world continues to operate. It's not so. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively cognizant, is actively aware, giving the world its life source by paying attention. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not pay attention to the wicked, he just turns to the side. V'derech resho'im toiveid. Okay, let's go back. I want to just a little bit of the Malbim, just not the entire thing, but just a few points. We go back to page 6. On page 6, the Malbim says, he breaks up this entire parak into six sections. Let's look at where it says Mala Aleph. Mala, back on page 6, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. It says, Ki'im Ke'etz. He's going to divide the righteous person, his existence can be broken down into seven different categories, or seven different levels. So first he says, Ki'im Ke'etz, Lo'i Ke'esev, V'lo'i Ke'etzitz, Asher Rak, Mino Yishmar, V'hu, Mino Yishmar, V'hu Tachlis Lo'icha Acharein. Okay, so first thing he says that he's going to be, first he's making a point that a tzaddik is like a tree. What is the difference between a tree and a blade of grass or a flower? The difference is that when the season is over, it's still there. The tree is rooted in the ground, and when the year is, and when the season is over, although the leaves may have fallen off, and although the fruit is no longer on the tree, but the tree is present. A blade of grass or a flower, when the season is over, ceases to exist. So the first blessing that David is attributing to a tzaddik, to a good person, is he will endure. He will endure, he will be around next year. Lo'i ke'esev v'lo'i ke'tzitz asher rak mino yishmar v'hu tachlis soy ha'acharayim. And this is all you got. V'chein ha'moin b'nei adam, let's see, lo yasu me'uma l'kim isham, rak l'kim minam, u'laniach yisram lo oilaleihem. A person that's not a righteous person, he's just part of society. Society will always be around next year. But the individuals, who says they'll be around? Ki'ilu ein lohem tachlis acher rak kiyum hamin. Humanity. Aval hu, et tzadik, doime ke'etz, asher melevad kiyum minam. Besides the fact that the tree is part of the forest, asher od yonuv b'seva, besides the fact that the min, the forest, the collection of trees will be around next, it will always exist. Gam ishoy, his individuality. The advantage of a righteous person is that his individuality yiskayem. The yitain pri kodesh hilulim, he will always produce the next season new fruit. Toiru Maisim Tovim, Lahash Oras Nafsho, his neshama will endure forever. So this is a very important point, is that a tree continuously produces fruit. The neshama of a tzaddik is eternal. It continuously exists. Whereas other types of vegetation, they don't exist. Once their time is up, their time is up. They may have been part of a link, part of a chain that goes that is necessary to go from one generation to the next, but they have no individuality. Their uniqueness as an individual is insignificant. That's number one. Number two. Now we go to mala number two. Now, what we discussed this just a bit. What does it mean an eight shosul and not an eight notum? On page number nine, I'm in the Malbum. He calls it Tefilois David Leha Malbum. He calls it by the name of Tefilois David. He says, Domek eight shosul locates until he's not like a tree that's planted. There's a difference between the word notuah and the word nishtol. Hanotuah. Something that is not too planted, who hanatua b'mekaymoi, it's planted in one specific location, and if that location turns sour, if there's no water in that location, if there's no sunlight in that location, someone does construction, someone poisons the environment, that's it, the tree is gone. But something that's shosul has mobility, it can be relocated. If the conditions are not ideal, it can be relocated to a new location and it will thrive wherever it is put. The koyach of a good person is the ability to adapt and to flourish in any situation. It's uprooted, it's relocated, in the new location, it's relocated for a purpose because it gets better there and it is improved. V'hinei. Yesh asavim lachim veranamim sheyefsho l'shaslam memakam l'makam mirov lachusam. There are types of grasses which cannot be uprooted. Vehem lo yashvichu v'lo yiskaymu yomim rabim, and they do not last very long. Av lo eitz asher ein lachus rav kol kach v'rotuv hu lefnei shemesh eis yakrenu b'mekoymo v'yishtolei b'makam acho yashvichu v'yiskaymu yoyser. Okay, so trees, in essence, to make it short, can be relocated. Now, a wicked person, when the sun comes out, he just withers. But v'yesat tzadik mamshil kineta she'ein boi lachus. There's an absence of moisture. The absence of moisture is an advantage. The nishtol that gives it the advantage of mobility to be relocated. This is what makes his way very joyous. All it needs is new soil and it will blossom. Kain harasha ha'olam hazehu beisu po mekabu nanitoi. Okay, so he concludes here with a very powerful drush, and he says the reason why it's called away the word shosul is that the tzaddik, when he leaves this world after his time comes of 120 years, then he goes to the next world. He is shosul. Shosul, he is relocated. It's like a tree that there's no water in this location, so you relocate it to a new location where there is water and it blossoms. The tzaddik is called shosul in what respect? He will do very, very well in the next world. After this world is over and his stay here is over, when there's nothing more for him to achieve, he has extracted all of the nutrients from the earth that he needs in this world, and now the tree is located to a new world, he will flourish. He will do just fine over there. He's an eitz shosul. A wicked person is an eitz notua. An Eitz Notua means you can only survive where you are planted. If you try to uproot it and relocate it, it will die. So the wicked is very comfortable and successful here in this world. But when the wicked is, his time is over and he's uprooted and he's taken to the next world, that's it. It's over. There's nothing more for him to do. Number 3.
By the way, Tzadik, it says Vehaya. Vehaya means Hudiye Beatid.
In the future.
It's not, right now you don't see it. Like you said.
In the future.
Olam Haba. It's in Rosh Hashanah, it says there's no Vehaya. They're already nothing will be left.
There's nothing in me left from the right.
Kiim kamot.
Nothing. Chaff. Blow away by the wind.
Even though they're successful, they make money or whatever it is.
There's nothing left from them at all.
They are nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely.
If I may, there's a Maimon Chazal that call Loimei the Rav Zecha, Angel Sivan Brocha Liyola or something like that.
You have to.
He has to go to
other places.
That's like Shosul.
Right. That's a different interpretation. That's Shosul. To be relocated. Exactly. So here the Malmo was saying a beautiful idea. He's saying over here the word Shosli is focusing on the next world. There's this world and the next world.
Right.
The ability to be successful in the next world. A Rasha, it's Natua. It's only successful where it was originally located, planted. An Eid Shosul is successful wherever it's located. A Tzadik, the Shosul here is the jump between this world and the next world. The Tzadik can handle it, the Rasha cannot. Number 3. Mala Gimel al Pagi Mayim Kil Eitz Adatua B'Mokim Yonesh Yidak B'Shnas Tatsaris Yomush Mimasos Peri. A Rasha is planted and is always worried in the year of famine what's going to be. Oh, Lo Yasin B'Zmanon V'Lochin Adatua Al Pagi Mayim. A tree, a Rasha that's planted not by Pal. We're coming to say that a Tzadik is planted by Palge Mayim. Never has to worry. There are multiple streams of water. If one river, one wadi dries up, there's another one. There's multiple streams of mayim. A rasha only has one source of water. And if its source of water dries up, it is done. Ashers, I show his nag who been setting the chesed al pi ni musam sichliim loy masu tamid day sipukam. Sorry.
Okay, page 9.
I'm in Mala Gimel. They're not gonna have ki asech ladoshi yile mikloya es hamatura tamid v'yite the right mishpata. He's coming over here to say very 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 deep that a person who is not a yarish shemayim and what is his pleasure in life. So he's discussing, well, everyone has different pleasures. There are people that like food, there are people that like alcohol, and there are people that like wisdom. So he's focusing specifically on a philosopher, on people who derive great satisfaction from knowledge. There are many Nobel laureates in this world. Okay, there are some very brilliant people who have very great pleasure in intellectual pursuits. But the intellectual pursuits of man, the Malbum is saying, is limited. It's limited to one particular study. Loi kein hanatua al teras Hashem ufikudav sheyim sotamid kuka mibli yecheta. He says something very profound. In Torah, a person that devotes of the Torah, the wisdom. I mean, these are all very esoteric contests because you know, like someone like me, just to get through Chumash Rashi and the Parsha, that is an enormous effort. But on a much larger scale. People who have great open minds, those people we're discussing a category of people that derive enormous pleasure from intellectual pursuits. If you have a specialty, what's going to happen is you're going to come to an end. The specialty, a secular specialty in one of the sciences, is ultimately limited. In Torah, a person that pursues the intellectual pursuit of Torah, it's infinite. It's palge mayim. Of Mayor Appledorf, he gave me a book, Conversations with. I read about half the book. I read half the book, 50% of the book. And there was there Rabbi Dalfin, he's a Lubavitch chassid. He's more Lubavitch than all Lubavitch put together. And he interviews some of the very famous people. This book is a very old book. It's from the 90s, the early 90s. And he interviews many, many, a lot of people that he interviewed already passed away. And he interviews many, many people. So he said there was one particular person, I forgot which one he was referring to. He went into the Rebbe, and he told, and he was going for a doctorate, and the Rebbe, and the Rebbe asked him, what is your dissertation? What are you doing research? So he said, I didn't decide yet. I didn't get to that point where I have to make a decision where I'm going to spend my time. I'm going to research. So let's talk about it. And the Rebbe went to all the different whatever his field was, and the Rebbe told him, don't do this, don't attempt to spend a lot of time on this particular subject. It's a dead end. It's a dead end. You're not gonna you'll spend an enormous amount of time, and at the end you'll come up with nothing. You'll have nothing to be machadish, and it'll just be a waste of time. So the fellow, he writes there, I thought the Rebbe was like, what do you know? What does the Rebbe know about these things? You know about all these things, and this. And he said years later, after spending a lot of time in all the different, these different fields and speaking to the world-class experts in these different sciences, he was blown away. How did the Rebbe know? The Rebbe know that this particular field, this field, like, don't try to go into this field, it's just a dead end. He was right, it is a dead end. Okay, so what we hear in some degree, the Maimonides are saying is, in the world of intellectual pursuits, there are people who derive enormous satisfaction, but he says they're gonna dry up. In any one field of science, you're limited. You can go, and learn, and study, but at the end, you're gonna be worried that your field of science, your pursuit of knowledge, you'll reach a dead end. But those who pursue the Chochmah of Torah, which includes all of the sciences, the Menorah has seven branches. And many of the commentators say, why are there seven branches? Because the center shaft is Torah, and the other six branches are the other dimensions of science, which are all intertwined and interconnected. If you're anchored in the Torah Hashem, it's Pal Gemayim. The knowledge, the wisdom, the Chochmah will never cease, will never come to an end. Okay? It's a very novel approach, what he's saying. He's taking each one of these psukim, of these expressions, he's breaking it down to seven parts. Again, the first part, he taught us, just to review, we're up to the first part, he told us he's an Irenaeus. Your innate individuality. Your neshama is nitzchi. You're not just part of a chain of humanity. You will, a good person's individuality, your legacy will live on forever. Number two, you're an eitz shasul. The same way you thrive in this world, when the neshama leaves and goes to the next world, it will thrive there as well. Number three, if a person is, he ki in b'toiras Hashem cheftzoi, those that pursue the Chochmas Hashem over the Chochma of Basar Vidam, you'll never encounter a dead end. The Torah Hashem is infinite. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then he comes to number three. Okay. Oh, I didn't even plug this in. Okay. Now we come to number three. Number four, up to number four. Malam Nana Dalid. Asher Pira Yitain, Ha'etz Hazeh Yitain Pira, Ha'etz Hazeh, this Eitz, Yitain Pira, return to Lamar, like case of the Yerk Shlo Yitain Rak Zar Ve'enu Kayim Be'ish Rak B'min. Very profound idea. A tree produces fruit. Vegetables produce seeds. What's the difference? There's no immediate benefit. It's just, I never thought of this. It's a very incredible thing, the difference between a fruit and a vegetable. A vegetable, we eat, that's why we make a bar priya adama, minoy kola. We eat the vegetable itself. A tree, we don't eat the tree. We don't eat the tree remains. We eat the fruit of the tree. A vegetable, what does it really produce? Seeds. You'll tell me, what do you mean? But we eat the vegetable. Eating the vegetable is a cop-out. There's a bari pri ha'etz and a bari pri ha'adamah. When you're eating a bari pri ha'etz, it's much more satisfying. Because the real product of a tree is its fruits. The real product of vegetables, of the earth, is seed. Seed is not it's not very satisfying. The purpose of the seed is just to provide a hemshach, a continuation into the next generation. A tzaddik produces fruit. A one that is not a tzaddik, the most he can produce is seed. Seed is a far cry from fruit. One more time, the words inside. Maladalit. Vegetables produce nothing more than seed. It only enables the min, the variety to continue into the next generation. He's referring to the vegetables. It doesn't produce anything that is substantial. Aval ze, a tree, pure yo yaham yuchel lo yitem, v'chein atzadik, enekim askilim, ba'ov dek achavim, shemoytzim pri al yidei inu yehem, umoiv tzehem, hasichliim, aval enem pri hanefesh hamichedes lo mitzad shibas morem elokis, shepir yo mitzad ze, koidesh ilulim, v'lo yitzel apola al yidei ze, atara, ho'elokus v'zoz. Okay, this is very deep, beyond my understanding. Okay, he's trying to compare this concept to between the ovedim of the Zara, who worship idols, and tzadikim, who serve Hashem. But in Yisroel, this is something very, very esoteric, that a tzaddik, when he serves Hashem, he produces results in this world that are substantial, that are beneficial, that you can look back and you can derive their benefits. The apikorsim, in their service, in their contribution to this world, does not produce anything substantial. Or anything of substance. Pasuk next, Malahei, Be'itoi, Shoha'etz, Azay Yotzi, Per Yosef, Bezmana, Ham Yucholoi, in the proper time, V'chein Oisha HaNefesh, V'atzlochas HaTzadikim, Yeh Be'itam, Ham Yuchod, Eish, Toshuv, Levi, Tzoroin, El Mokam, Asher, Lukoch, Misham. Okay, everything is timing. We all know that. Life is all about timing. Being in the right place at the right time. A special siyata d'shmaya. We all know that. You can have all the milas, you can have all, everything going for you. Everything about life is timing. It's so, so true. It's so frightening. And here in this pasuk is telling us that the mila, the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon a good person is timing. You're in the right place to write them. Shidduchim. How many shidduchim are all about timing? It's all about being in the right place and the right time. It's a special, not to take for granted this idea, asher pirioi yitein bito, everything has to be just right. Next mile, my lavav, v'shagam alei lo yibol, mitzad, sheheim yashayim, v'sapir yibol, maginim aleim, gamkin hatzlochasam, hazmanim, oshroi, nuchasov, v'lias agof, yizkaim, v'lo yibolu, will not wither, leman asher lo yeezer, el oshroi, achon, shupirioi. Understanding words over here, he's saying over here that, okay, I'm not really sure what he means. This is a little bit over my head. They guard the leaves. I'm not sure what he means in this mila. The leaves, I mean, there's something very deep here, which is a little bit beyond my head. And mila zayin, v'chol asher yasa yatzliach, sho'ilon azeh yatzliach gam ezezari, v'chol asher nizra v'nita mimenu yeh komohu, and it endures into the next generation. Okay, so this concludes. I found this very interesting, this idea. The seven different madregot, the seven madregos, the seven different points see the Malbim extracts from this pasuk in reference to this good person. Okay, now I want to show you a few more things. I marked off a lot of things that we told you. Actually told you, so let's just do some of the Mori Chazal. Do some selective Mamori Chazal before we go into the next parak. Okay, let's go back to page 4. Okay, we'll jump around just a little bit. Back to page 4, a few Mamori Chazal. Did I mark off some of them? Not really. But we'll jump around just to do a little bit on each pasuk, and then we will Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow do Mizmor Beis. Ashrei Ho'ish on page 4 in Mamori Chazal. We'll jump around a little bit. Ashrei Ho'ish Hashem Lo'yach Ba'atzas Rishoyim. Ashrei Ho'ish. The Lama Rog Shugoyi, we discussed last year, the mile of learning Likudei Shas, because basically all the Mepharshim are drawing from these Mamori Chazal, and indeed I believe that the editor who put this together, he worked backwards, he went to the Mepharshim, and he saw what they were quoting from, and he took them, he extracted them, and he put them over here for us in this Likudei Shas on the bottom. So this, the first two Perakim, this is the Yisrael that we started with, we have a tradition. We have over here 150 perakim of Tehillim. Now the truth is, according to Chazal, there are only 147, which means we have to combine a few of the perakim together to make sense. So the first thing that we have to know is that the truth is Perak Aleph, Mizmor Aleph, and Mizmor Beis are truly one perak. How do we know that? Asher Ho'ish, Lomarok Shugoyim, that's the second chapter. Chadah Parasha, he is one mizmor. How do we know that? Diyam Rabbi Shua Bar Nachmani, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Parasha Shahisa Chaviva Al David Pasach Babi Asher Visim Babi Asher. Any parasha that was precious to David begins with Ashrei and ends with Ashrei. Pasach Ba Ashrei, the Siv Ashrei Ho'ish Asher Lo Holach Ba Tzas Rishoim Visim Ba Ashrei, the Siv Ashrei Kol Chayseva, fortunate are all those people who have faith in Hashem. So this teaches us that this is considered to be one mizmor. Now there's another very critical dimension about this mimer, which is very important for Sefer Tehillim, is that David plays favorites. Everyone knows that it is a cardinal sin to have a favorite child. Right? You don't play favorites. You don't say, this one is my favorite child. Who is the first one to commit this Avera? Asher's Avera. Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu. I'm sorry? Yitzchak? Why? Who's Esav? But he was the Bukhar. He really was the Bukhar. So different. Why? Well, he didn't say he didn't put A. He didn't say Yah. Only one was supposed to get the bracha. It's because he was the only one. All right, and maybe you're right, maybe Taki right. But we do know that then to an over-the-top way, Yaakov Avinu, he played favorites with Yosef. He was the Ben Zukunim. Maybe he was in town because he was the youngest son. He gave him the Kesoines Pasim. And that turned out to be a disaster. And this is just basic ABC that even in any situation, it's not good to have a favorite because then you're going to create jealousy. V'chulu. What about in Tehillim? Each one of these Mizmarim is like David's child. David composed the Mizmar. You know, people who have people who are published, who are authors. They look at their, you have to, some popular authors, they look at their books like their children. They devote so much of their life to producing a work of substance. They look at their book, he's my child. So if you ask them, which of your books do you like the best? They'll say, oh, I don't play favorites. I devoted so much time and effort to each one of my books. I love them all, they're like my children. David composed many Mizmorim. I know we learned in Rosh that there are 10 Mizmorim. In Sefer, in Tehillim, there are 10 people who contributed to Tehillim. But by large, David wrote most of them, and even those that he did not write, he was selecting the one he took. Obviously, there must have been more mizmorim that David had access to, which he decided not to include in Sefer Tehillim. So when David went and either composed the mizmor or selected the mizmor, that was a stamp of approval. Along comes this Maimon Chazal and says, David has favorites. He has favorites. And the way he has showed which one of the Mizmorim is his favorite is by beginning with the word Ashrei and concluding with the word Ashrei. Sandwiching the Mizmar with the word Ashrei, which means obviously praiseworthy, fortunate, It is a word which, number one, shows chavivus, and number two, it highlights for us, pay attention. Pay close attention. Every so often, when you go to an event, we're going to say now Tehillim. Everyone open up your Tehillim to Mizmar Kuf Mem Beis. Open up to Mizmar Tezayin. Why do you select one Mizmar over another Mizmar? There are so many different Sfarim that are out there that if you want to say Tehillim for Shaduchim, say these Mizmar. If you want to say Tehillim for Refuah Shleima, say this. For Parnasa, say this. For children, say this. Because there's for rain, say this. V'chulu v'chulu. So obviously, the people that are making these selections, they're very fluent in Tehillim. They know exactly the content of what each Mizmor says, and they find there are certain themes and certain words, and they extract. David also made a selection of what he felt to be critical in Tehillim, and he indicated that with the word Ashrei, Ashrei, in the beginning and the end. And if David highlighted, that allows us to delve more into these two Mizmarim, to use it as a springboard or a source to try to understand who was David. David is a mystery. David is a closed book. It seems like we know everything about David. Go to Sefer Shmuel, open up Sefer Shmuel, and learn about the story of David HaMelech. It spans from the beginning of Sefer Shmuel to the end of Sefer Shmuel. A very complicated person. Very complicated person. What was his mission in this world? What was his purpose? He had a very difficult childhood. His brothers thought he was a mamzer. They sent him out deliberately to the field to be killed. They wanted him to die. They suspected he was a mamzer. His father also suspected he was a mamzer. Shmuel Hanavi revealed the MS, Mechul, but there's so many different things. David, that affected David's life, that didn't those events, the childhood of David has have a profound impact on his life. We all know today in psychology, the events of what happened to a child in his childhood and adolescence has a major, major impact in his adult life. David was abused. David thought, this is the fact, we're not going to know the whole story now, but everyone did many times. Yishai really thought that his wife was Mizane. Yishai separated himself from his wife. And one day, guess what? His wife is pregnant. How in the world are you pregnant? How in the world are you pregnant? I have not been with you. I have not been with you in the last 9 months. How in the world did you have a baby? There's only one way that this happened. You live with another man. You live with another man. That means that this child is a mamzer. So if the child is a mamzer, what do you do with a mamzer? You indirectly cause him to die. How do you cause him to die? You put him on the front lines. What are the front lines? Go out into the field where there are wolves and lions, and he'll be ripped to shreds. Don't you think that played a role in Uriah Hachiti? When Uriah Hachiti, David was put out on the front lines. He was a shepherd. His father thought he was a mamzer. So what did he do? Oh, you're going to be my shepherd. Take out the sheep to where the wolves are. And what's going to happen to David? Toroif Taraf. The front lines. Don't you think that played a part or had an impact on him when Bathsheba, he lived with Bathsheba. Guess what? She's an Ashes Ish. Uriah Hachiti. So what did David do? Send him to the front lines so he should die. Where did David get that idea from? Who taught him how to do that? His father. Because that's what his father did to him. No, it's obvious. What happened to him in his life, David is a mystery. Everything about David's life, David's a mystery. David here is saying that anything that's chaviv to David, he put the word Ashrei before, Ashrei after. This Mizmar is David's autobiography. That's in essence what this Maimon Chazal is saying. If David is saying any Mizmar that was chaviv to David, he began with Ashrei, ended with Ashrei, to indicate that it's chaviv, it's precious to him. Now, by the way, what is chaviv mean? Chaviv is another key word of in this Chazal. Chaviv Adam Shenivra Bitzelem. Man is precious in that he is created in the image of Hashem. And then Chazal say, Chaviva Yisera Shenoidasloi, that it's known to man that he was created in the image of Hashem. It would have been a big secret that man is created in the image of Hashem. Hashem did not need to reveal that to us. We could have known that through some, let's say, some medrash, or maybe not even known that. And just the fact that man is created in Hashem's image is a chavivus that Hashem has for his creation. Hashem did a double dosage of chavivus by writing it in the Torah, ki bitzelem Elokim, was the Pashem Ramayevsky? Ki bitzelem Elokim, also es ha'adam. It was not necessary for Hashem to say that in the Torah. The Hashem said that in order to be megala, an extra dosage of chavivus. So what do we learn from this?
I also say that bitzelem, I thought bitzelem Elokim
is b'matri Avram. Okay, so we learn from this over here, Yisoid, that chavivus is synonymous with awareness. Along come Chazal, and Chazal say that this mizmor is doubly chaviv because it begins with Ashrei and ends with Ashrei. Now, if you say that the word chavivus is synonymous with awareness, this mizmor is where David is making us aware of who he really is. This is David's autobiography. You can write about David whatever you want. David's life is very rich, complex. Many sagas, many twists and turns. And from all the different sagas and twists and turns, you can make out of David whatever. David has to come and define, who am I? I want to make it known to you who I really am, who is the real David. Every perek in Sefer Shmuel is a different David. How many Davids are there? Like, you know, they say about people, I always tell you about, you read these biographies about Israeli history. So one thing always strikes out at me, I don't remember who said this, is Ben Gurion, right? The founder of the State of Israel, the first Prime Minister of the State of Israel, Ben Gurion. Who is Ben Gurion? So I once heard a gadol say, there are three Ben Gurions. Don't talk to me about Ben Gurion unless you tell me which Ben Gurion you're referring to. First, you have to tell me which one you're referring to. Are you referring to the Ben Gurion before the establishment of the State of Israel? During the time of, you know, all of the Igrun and all of the, you know, everything that led up, the British Mandate, the Balfour Declaration, and all of these things before the establishment of the state? That was one Ben Gurion. Then there was a Ben Gurion who led the Jewish people as the Prime Minister of the State of Israel. And then there was a Ben Gurion when he retired. And he was a Zaken, and he was unfortunately in an assisted living facility, and he was a broken person. And people came, they taught, and the people came to him, and he would talk. And he would talk and talk and talk, and people recorded a lot of things that he said. And what he said, you know, he said different things. Which Ben Gurion are you referring to? Talk about Noach. Which Noach? When you talk about Noach, which Noach? How many Noachs were there? There was a Noach before the Mabel. There was a Noach after the Mabel. And after the Mabel, there was more than one Noach. Talk about Avraham Avinu. There was Avraham Avinu when he was very young. There was Avraham Avinu by the Brit Hanam, by the four kings and the five kings. There was an Avraham Avinu after the Akedah. And then there was an Avraham Avinu that was a Zokain. He went and he took a wife. He went and he took Keturah. And he had children. A whole different Tekufa in his life. Okay, you talk about, you know, drumming around. Rabbi Aaron Rakefin, he talks about Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik all the time. So he says, when you talk to me about the Rav, which Rav are you referring to? The Rav of the 60s? The Rav of the 70s? The Rav of the 80s?
The Rav himself said that.
Which Rav? When we talk about Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, which Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik are we talking about? They're worlds apart. You can't go tell me, we gotta know which one you're talking about. David HaMelech, every single chapter in Tehillim is a different David HaMelech. A whole new person. There's the David dealing with Yohanan, there's the David of Shaul, There's the David with Shmuel. There's a David dealing with.
Exactly.
But even the life of David, even besides the Tehillim, but David HaMelech lived a long, fruitful, complex life, and every single chapter is a different person. So now, when it's all over, we say, will the real David please stand up? Please stand up. Because here we have a Sefer Tehillim that has 150 chapters. Or according to Chazal, 149 chapters. And each chapter, you can interpret every single chapter in so many different ways. And certainly every single chapter, if you want, you can interpret to a different era, or a different tekufa of David's life. You can certainly take every single chapter and somehow and find a tekufa of David's life. Oh, this mizmar is defining, is expressing David's emotional state during that particular era. Very nice. Will the real David now please stand up? I know, David, you're a very complicated person. Who's the real David? David HaMelech said, let me tell you who the real David is. Any mizmar that begins with Ashrei and ends with Ashrei, that's the real me. Everything else is just packaging. It's just circumstance. It's just situation of and where I need to react and adapt. But if you want to know the real me, if you want to be aware, it is Chaviv. What is Chaviv synonymous with? Yidia. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Chaviva Yisera Shenoidaslan. I'll make it aware to you. The Chaviva Yisera, according to Chazal, means awareness. I let you know about it. I tell you, the greatest hana you can have with, you know, a friend. Think about it. I have a friend. So what does he do for you? Let's say he's very rich. He calls, come over to my house. I want to give you a present. I'll give you food. I'll give you a bottle of wine. I'll give you a car. I'll buy you a house. Come. Wow, you got a good friend. He likes to give you toys. Give you a, come over. I want to tell you some secrets. That's a friend. When your friend calls you over and says, I want to tell you something's going on in my life. No one knows this. I want you to know this. I want you to be aware of this important event that is happening in my life. That is priceless. If a person gives you money, gives you toys. That's a very beautiful expression of friendship. But when he calls you over and he says, I want to tell you some secrets, he hasn't given you one penny. But he shows his connection to you. That's priceless. David here is coming to let you know the real me. Chaviva Yisera is what? Shenoidasloi. It is the chavivus that Adam is nivra b'tzelem. But it is the ultimate show of love when you let someone know the secret. Chaviva yiser shenoidasloi. Any mizmo that is chaviv to David, he bookended with the word ashrei ashrei. What is chavivus, the ultimate chavivus? To let you know. Will the real David please stand up? This mizmar is the real David. And David says about himself, David over here is talking about himself. David says, what is my legacy? My legacy is lehalach ba'atzas rishayim uvederech atam le'omod. That's my legacy. Do no harm. And what do I want in this world? Toiras Hashem Chefza. That's Uvi Toiras So Yege Yoimam V'Loyla. David is writing about the real God. And likewise, when he goes into the next parak is with David. You know, there are really two Davids. There's David the individual, and there's David the Melech of Klal Yisrael. Mizmar Aleph is the private man, David's private life, and Mizmar Beis Lomarok Shugayim. It's where David serves as the Melech of Klal Yisrael relative to the Umay Sa'ilam. The Umay Sa'ilam, we're going to see now in the Mizmar Beis, tomorrow Mizmar Beis, is Lomarok Shugayim, is Klal Yisrael is in the center, and all the nations are surrounding us. And we say to them, excuse me, calm down, calm down. Can everyone outside here have a seat? Relax. Lama Rag Shugayim. David here is viewing himself as the leader of the world. Klal Yisrael is the Orla Amin. David the Melech Yisrael, leading Klal Yisrael against the Umas Olam, he's saying to the nations of the world, he's saying to them as the leader, as Klal Yisrael, everyone here, you gathered here, like, in the, what are you all worked up about? Relax. Let me straighten you out. Let me tell you what you need to know. This is the real David. What we're going to see tomorrow in Mizmar Beis is the real David in his role as a leader for the world. David Melech Yisrael of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is the Or La'amim, leading the entire world. Don't go look at all the other Mizmarim. All the other Mizmarim, they're true. They're expressions of emotion, of chokhma, of dealing with difficult situations. But those are just, you know, those are sidebars. Those are, you know, distractions. There's what to learn from. No kidding. Everything is mali chokhma. But the real David, to go and to filter the pure definition of who am I, that's the first mizmor. How do you know that? From this Maimer Chazal Lama Rakshu Goyim. Any mizmor, Parsha Chada, any parsha that was Chaviva al David, Pasach Ba Ba'ashe, Yisim Ba Ba'ashe. Because this, the Chavivas here is, this is who I am. And I wanna Chaviva Yisir Shonei Daslai, I wanna let you know what I am all about. Okay, so this
but,
is
but the definite devil's advocate. The first is more starts with Ashrei, but doesn't end in Ashrei.
That's what we said. That
and
it's
the
really
second one does
right. Not that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Mizmor Aleph and Mizmor Beis are one Mizmor.
How do you know that? I
mean, the Gemara says that.
Who
put that? The article put the Beis over there. There's a pay there. That's a good point.
Yeah.
You're making a good point because how are you going to deal with the pay? Pay is a parsha psucha.
Right.
Excellent point. I don't know the answer. But Chazal say that Mizmor
Aleph doesn't end in Ashrei. And Beis,
Chazal say that Mizmor Aleph and Mizmor Beis are one Mizmor. The proof is it begins with Ashrei, ends with Ashrei. Why then is there a Parsha Psucha? Is there a pay in between Mizmor Aleph and Mizmor Beis?
Right.
It's an excellent question which I don't have an answer. Now, you have to understand, just because there's a Parsha Psucha does not mean that it's not one Mizmor. It happens
so
to be.
Here, you know, 10 pages
it happens to be that there is no other mizmar. It happens to be there is no other mizmar that has a pay in the middle. You're making a good point. I mean, you have Hodul Hashem Kitov. Okay, but it's not. I shouldn't say there is no. There are other unique situations in the Tehillim, but that's it's true. But according to Chazal, Aleph and Beis is one mizmar. And it's defining David, who his essence, it's an autobiography. David wrote two autobiographies, one about his personal life, and one about his life as the prime minister of the state of Israel. As the Melech Yisrael. What?
Two
Yishais. Yeah, the two Yishais. That's not every chorus type of thing they talk about. That's the good line to the two Yishais. But David over here is writing, it's according to Chazal, it's one Mizmor, and that also, and it's in them, because Chazal tells there are 147 Mizmorim, we learned this, corresponding to the years of the life of Yaakov Avinu. There's a parallel between David and Yaakov. Yaakov lived 147 years, and David wrote 147 Mizmorim, and the two of them, they overlap. Each year represents a year in a person's life represents a chapter. David, who wrote Tehillim, he's giving over chapters of his life. Yaakov had 147 chapters in his life. David expressed those chapters in 147 Mizmoirim. Oh, excuse me, our book says 150 Mizmoirim. No. Someone made a mistake. You got to combine a couple of Mizmoirim together. Aleph and Beis is really one. Okay, that's it. Tomorrow we're doing Beis.
Even if there is no Kesher, it's a subject because it's completely different.
Lamruach Shugoyim. So I'm trying to answer is that the first Mizmar, these two Mizmarim is David defining himself. In the first Mizmar, he's defining himself as an individual. In the second Mizmar, he's defining himself as his role of leading Klal Yisrael against the Umay Sa'olam, the nations of the world. David, I'm the leader. I'm the Melech. How do I view my role as the Melech of Yisrael relative to the Umay Sa'olam? So he's saying, I'm the Melech, and I'm saying to the Umos, I'm giving an address. When you give an address in front of the UN, okay, General Assembly, you get in front of the microphone, General Assembly, who are you addressing? The whole world. You're addressing the whole world at the UN. And what is David? What is David's speech to the whole world? Lama rak shugayim ula umim yegurik. That's what the prime minister should do. You go to the UN General Assembly and read Mizmor Beis. Read and expound upon Mizmor Beis, because that's exactly what David, how David viewed his role in leading Klal Yisrael towards the rest of the world. All right, tomorrow we are going to proceed and begin Mizmor Beis.
Who puts the pay in?
The Messiah. The assumption is this is tradition. This goes back to the time of David HaMelech himself.
Because every other parak, which is...
Every parak begins with a new chapter with a pay. Yes. All right, we'll take a short break. I want to go talk afterwards on the topic of Myrith. This week is the parsha.
Pay is like a semicolon here, maybe. Pay is like a semicolon.
The pay is like a semicolon. Right. Well, in this is like a new. All right. New chapter.
And every parak. That's mentioned before. That's one of the things. That's the difference of Tehillim from all other Sefer Tanakh. Every